Hey, good morning. Welcome to our Friday Open Line. I am your host, Brian Bowes, and wow, we're about ready to knock August out of the park here pretty soon. Before you know it, it'll be the end of August and we'll be into September. School starting next week for most of our area schools in our county and beyond. So start paying attention to buses and kids going back and forth. Of course, high school sports already underway for a lot of those athletes, especially the fall athletes, football and volleyball and cross country. They've already started working out, practicing their two-a-days and so on and so forth. But you know, As that tells us, things roll on, and one of the other things that rolls on is Open Line and our bi-monthly visit with our county commissioners. Now, later on in the hour, we'll visit with a gentleman, John Botkins, talking about a Dad's Move. Dad's an acronym, D-A-D-S, about their program upcoming. But first up, it's Commissioner Chris Branch. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Well, I'm getting my radio voice adjusted here.
Yeah, the radio voice, yes. I was told I had a face for radio and a voice for silent pictures.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that exactly works out, but anyway. So.
Well, I can think of several ways.
So you got a map.
Yeah, I was actually looking at a map this morning, and I was trying to get my printer to work, and as you can see, it didn't all print out in a fashion that was acceptable, but I can make it work. This map is for the Accountable Community Health Networks in the state of Washington, and when we're a member of one, Better Health Together. It's the Spokane County Behavioral Health Organization, and we are destined to be in the North Central Washington ACH in 2020.
Oh, okay.
But there's this process that we're going through, and it's very difficult to understand. In fact, we're having a meeting soon with September 11th with Linda Evans-Parlett, who is actually heading up the organization for North Central Washington. At least she's doing some groundwork in that regard. And her background's a she's a pharmacist and has a lot of knowledge in terms of healthcare. And,
sure.
And
yeah.
So some of this is mostly dealing with Medicaid, Medicare, and integration of those services.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an effort in the state of Washington to make that happen. Okanagan County, as I said, was a part of the Spokane system, still is, but by 2020 we'll be in this other system. But there's this mid-adopter program, and we're all trying to understand what that all means. But it makes money available for this shift to this integration of services. And so I've been focused quite a bit on it lately just because it is complicated, and I'm trying to understand it, so I'm saturating myself with all these acronyms that they're endless. And, I used to think that planners had a lot of acronyms, but in the healthcare business these days, I mean, there's bunches of them from the Health Care Authority in the state of Washington on down to our nine ACHs in the state of Washington.
Okay.
So we have a decision to make as county commissioners in terms of whether or not we want to be a part of this mid-adopters situation. And again, it gives money early in the process so that we might phase ourselves into this this integration. Like a behavioral health has to be integrated with physical health, which seems to be a sensible thing to do. But again, with all the healthcare organizations, hospitals, clinics, those healthcare providers being a part of all this, getting them all together and really getting a good view of where they sit, what's going to be good for us, what isn't going to be good for us. But by next month, we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to shift early into this North Central Washington region.
Okay.
And so that's where I'm spending a lot of time trying to figure it out
and
give recommendations to the rest of the board. But that's on top of my list of things.
Okay. So this early in, as it were, to kind of make a smoother transition, is the transition going to happen either way?
Yeah, it is going to have to happen by 2020.
Sure.
So, it's going to happen either way.
Okay.
And take it, you know, it's always everybody's very suspicious about, okay, they've got a carrot out there for us, and what does that mean? What are we going to have to do? Some people equate it to the Growth Management Act, and you can certainly understand that when Ferry County had the carrot in front of them years ago in the early 90s, and they took the carrot and realized that they didn't really need growth management, and so they spent years trying to get back out of it.
Right.
Well, some people kind of look at this as the same kind of deal. I don't quite see it that way.
Okay.
But just trying to figure out what the implications are for us and behavioral health care in the Okanagan County. I'm working with them, going to visit with them today, talk a little bit more about it and see, you know, what are the implications? But either way, from my perspective, I think that it might be good for us to go. This is called a mid-adopter. So there was already an early adopter in Southwest Washington. There's a pilot project that was done there. And so we're beginning to see some of the results of that. A couple of negatives, nothing really huge. But, you know, we're all in different parts of the state, and we all deal with healthcare differently. From my perspective, we're a part of North Central Washington, so to be hung out there over in the Spokane County, along with, you know, Ferry and Ponderay and Stevens County, I'm not so sure that's where we need to be. But again, there's nuances that I'm trying to understand.
One of the first things I just heard about this morning then from you is, I guess, one of the first things that rattles around in my cranium is the idea of central control somewhere. Is that going to be a good thing?
Right.
Is it going to enhance, you know, the delivery model and the services, or are we going to lose things here? Because I just heard on the news the other day about the viability of economies in small towns is intricately linked to the health care that's available in those small communities.
Oh, right.
I'm sure you have a lot to sort out there. That's probably part of your sorting out thing.
It is. Absolutely is. But, you know, and as far as centralized, you know, systems, I think that when it comes to Medicaid and Medicare, you have that already.
Sure.
And so possibly this effort could, in fact, it has potential to improve the delivery of services, especially when you talk about behavioral health and physical health. I mean, this simple concepts that we're talking about here, they make sense. I mean, you know, if you separate the two, you've got people going through the system, getting the runaround, and you have people going to the emergency more often.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, these kind of systems are trying to avoid, is people having to wait till a crisis just it comes about, and then they're in the emergency, and it costs us a whole lot more. And I think the hospitals right now are looking at ways to make this integration work. We just have to make sure we're all together on it. So like I say, we're trying to pull a meeting together. We had one recently, and with Senator Parlett, we still call her Senator Parlett, of course, with the help of Senator Parlett, we will be meeting again, like I say, on the 11th of September. We think that's the date. And getting all of those healthcare providers and the players together and kind of seeing if we can vet out what they're really thinking. Because, you know, people are reserved about, you know, what they want to share and what they don't want to share. Yeah. So I'm hoping that we can...
They want to wait and see. I mean, we're talking turf.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
There's some turf thing that they're going to try to protect. And you know, I'm not a big fan of buzzwords, but they're out there. And I think this whole idea about integrated health care, which really, for me, when I think of integrated health care, I take in, you say the physical, the emotional, the mental, and even the natural.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's all this integration of trying to get the best health care in maybe in one place as possible for the people here in our county.
Well, you know, it is. I've experienced it more recently than ever, and we all will, you know, at our age. We have parents, you know, elders that are going through phases, and some of them are, you know, it goes fast toward the end. And I've recently dealt with that with my mother-in-law, and it's very, very difficult. My sister did with hers as well, where, you know, you're maybe you got Alzheimer's, things like that, and then you're trying to move from one place to another, and you might be the care provider in the home, and you need support services to do that. It's really a challenge, and it's more, you know, it's a big challenge because of demographics today and the aging population. So I also serve on it's a council of governments for aging and adult care.
Okay.
And so the more you uncover the issues related to this, then you can see where that integration is really necessary.
So you're on this governing body, you said, with aging and adult care? So one of the things that I see from listening to talking to people just in your situation with parents that are aging and health issues and so on is the availability of good, consistent respite care. Is that something that, because it doesn't seem like...
It's all part of it, you know.
Do we have enough of that?
Well, that's a question. And is it, and is it well coordinated? I mean, that's again, you're not talking to the expert here. You're talking to the guy who is actually just soaking this stuff in. And, you know, that happens to me when I get into complex issues. And eventually, one day, the light goes on, and I go, okay, I know where we are here. Yeah. And so I depend on others to help me with that. Certainly, the folks at Okanagan Behavioral Healthcare have been helpful. But, like I said, Linda Evans Parlett has been I've worked with her in the past in the legislature, I've always been well guided.
Yeah, what a wealth of knowledge and experience, and a huge absolutely explode your networking capabilities with someone like Senator Parlett involved.
She sent an email yesterday, and it was isn't email wonderful, because you know the communications we're able to make and contacts just almost immediately to get people who have been in this process for quite a while. There's a county commissioner from Ponderay County that is very knowledgeable, and so I'll be meeting with him and getting his views on the subject. And so again, you got to rely on others, especially at this stage of the game where you're entering a process that's complicated and other people have been in it for so long, and the politics are very interesting. Sometimes you wonder if it's all meaningful conversation or not.
I wonder that myself.
Because there's conspiracies about,
For sure. Let's shift a little bit here. I've got the week's agenda. A lot of looks like there's a lot of financial stuff, budget work sessions.
Budget
and things.
Time.
Budget time. But also, give a quick haul route. I was just reading the paper. I guess your guys are looking for some board members for a lake management program plan, or is that taken care of?
I think that part of it's taken care of. What we're doing is going through the process of actually creating that district, and that district is by vote. It's not on the ballot. It's a vote that we send out to the landowners that are involved in the lake management district or drawn on that map.
Right,
and they vote. So I think that's a good system.
Okay.
Leave the decision-making...
North County, or was that?
That's around Lake Assouias.
Yeah, right.
And so primarily what those folks up there are addressing today, and that's the Lake Assouias Association, has some really active members, and they've been trying to deal with milfoil for a good many years. And so that's the primary focus. But there's some other threats out there of invasive species that of grave concern even beyond milfoil. So having a lake management association has some income to match dollars that come from the State Department of Ecology. That's what the purpose of the district is. And so we support it. We support what those folks are doing. And
all right.
Most of the people that are included, are okay with it because they understand the implications of what the situation with milfoil. And, you know, it's kind of funny, ironic in some ways, because I think 30 years ago or more, my first paper it was a research paper, and I did an environmental research paper on milfoil and the treatment of milfoil in Lake Assouias and the Okanagan River system, so now here today, you know, I'm dealing with it in real life, not just writing a paper about it. You know, the control methods these days are, there's natural methods that are being used by the Canadians, and because they don't allow the use of chemicals on the lake, and so they harvest it, and the problem with harvesting is that it fragments it, and which causes it to replant itself.
Okay.
I mean, it's like taking weeds and whacking them while they got seeds on them, and using that as a control method because you're creating more weeds.
So. Burning goat heads, they just pop and go.
Proliferation, yes. Yeah. The other issue there's a snail, and I actually, what the heck is it? It's a mussel. a very, very small mussel that has invaded many of the waterways in the East Coast, and it can be working its way to us. And if it does, it's like barnacles that attach themselves to everything. And they're very, very small, and they're hard to keep track of. So.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've even talked about in the weed, because it's possible the weed board will be the implementing body.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
But it's possible that we may even look at, like they do in Oregon, there's a fee that everybody pays to, even down to the kayaks. I paid it the last time I was down in the Columbia River, the Lower Columbia, to help identify and control these invasive species.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
An ongoing issue in our county, it seems like, marijuana. Marijuana operations moratorium. You had supposedly had a public hearing discussion on Monday about that. Is that?
And the moratorium. So, you know, when you enact a moratorium, it's basically a timeout. It says, stop right here. We've got to look at the rules. And without a moratorium, what happens if you act like you're going to change the rules, then everybody comes in with applications to vest themselves. And so in land use, that's the common deal. And so we adopted the moratorium to the dismay of many of the producers because, you know, the situation, it's a competitive market.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers are in, and some of them have an advantage over the others, maybe because they're not playing fully by the rules. So my perspective has always been there's other ordinances out there. We should be enforcing those because, you know, those, it's not a level playing field. And so I treat business like business. You know, the cannabis bill passed, and so we're in a position where, you know, I want to have a predictable business environment for everybody, and that's a problem today. So what we did the other day was looked at the moratorium, kind of looked at, well, what are we really trying to address? And for instance, producers have the opportunity to apply to do processing as well. So we pulled processing out of that moratorium because we don't see that as the real issue. I think one of the biggest issues that we see, and it's only a couple or three of the farms, unfortunately, that have issues with lighting. They happen to be located in neighborhoods. I mean, actually subdivisions where there are some very valuable homes.
Okay.
And so that affects the quality of life in your neighborhood when you have this big fenced off operation, but also when there's behavior that is surrounding that business that that disrupts the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Loud music, lighting.
Certainly
production has a smell, and I don't know if we'll ever get around that. You know, in Chelan County, I think they've gone to, my understanding is they've gone to indoor ops, and that's not real popular for the sun growers. There's a bunch out there that grow, use the sun. They don't want to use all this extra electricity, and they have a product that's how they advertise it. It's a natural grow thing, and so that affects them. So I think there's things we can do where forming a committee of the producers and other interests that may want to provide input about where they're located. But the biggest thing that happened is there's two phases it's gone on so far. One phase has been laissez-faire. Business can start anywhere. There's no permit. And obviously that caused some problems.
Yeah, okay.
And so the second phase is a conditional use permit process. And that conditional use permit is allowed in almost every district in the county. So you can imagine, you know, again, residential subdivisions, Malotte, there was an application that was denied.
Right.
That's where the problems lie. So we'll have to get a handle on that. But what we want to do right now is just make sure that we're not, with the moratorium, over-regulating and holding people up for no reason at all. So that's what we've been working on.
Too bad you couldn't just go in with a magic crane and pick up that old Malotte school and move it somewhere else. That's a perfect place. I mean, really, just like for this
growth. Good building for it. Yeah,
it is a good building.
But you know, it could be pretty emotional when you're taking a school with people you should go to.
Oh boy, for sure.
And then you're in the middle of a neighborhood, a town, a little town.
You
may not be incorporated. But.
Got a few minutes left. Anything else that's hot on the agenda for you, Chris?
Well,
of course, budget is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, what, you know, we've gone through a few of the budgets already because everybody's done their submittals, and then they'll come in and we'll have discussions about each submittal. We're already a couple million behind. So, and that's the thing, you know. Last year, the Board of Commissioners borrowed $2 million. We paid a million of that back and expect to pay the other million by the end of the year. But you can imagine right there, the $2 million shortage, that's what we're looking at. And there was a shift, levy shift from the road fund. So, we're trying not to do that. We may have to do it anyway. You got a question?
Yeah. What's your take on hemp?
Hemp.
And how do you feel it will affect Okanagan County?
Well, hemp's an opportunity, obviously. You know, that's where you make material.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even rope. I don't know.
But, supposedly.
Yeah. I guess one of the issues with hemp, though, is that we have this cannabis production, recreational cannabis, and hemp actually has the potential to cross-pollinate and ruin the cannabis crop. So, if that comes about, there's something to pay close attention to here.
Interesting. Okay. Wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
So, and I don't know where hemp will go. I mean, it obviously doesn't need the controls that recreational marijuana does, because I don't think you get high on hemp.
No, I don't have.
I
think so. I don't know. That lot of schools have a good place.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you know, it seems like it would be even more of a agricultural production,
right?
And the state hasn't really looked at cannabis as an agricultural operation, which it seems like it should be. But
well, I mean, why not? You're growing. It's a natural. I mean, it's a natural,
right?
Grown and
right.
I think it would be an ag thing, but I don't.
Yeah, except, you know, like apples and hay. You can't get a high on apples and hay, so there's something to that.
Well, it depends on what you do with that apple, I guess.
But there's that issue. And then there's other concerns that people have. I mean, people have a concern that, you know, when they see these marijuana farms, they're concerned that it implies to the youth that everything's okay about using marijuana. And, you know, clearly, young people don't need to be using marijuana, going to school and these kind of things. It can impair their ability to learn. And,
sure.
And so there's a big concern there.
Yeah.
And we've been hearing about that, and I certainly understand what that means. So there's groups out there that are trying to keep kids on the right path, and here, you know, right in front of them is a grow operation. My view of that is, educate your children.
I'll tell you, I voted against it, and I would again. But
right.
Now that it's here, and I look at, okay, so we have the marijuana issue. I don't see much, you know, and I'm probably going to raise some ire out there, but I don't see much difference between, you know, like, for example, those two marijuana stores up next to GameStop, and being able to, you know, in going to a liquor store.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they go into Walmart, the alcohol is all over the place, and you go into Rite Aid, there's alcohol.
Yes.
It's
just another.
It's a complicated issue.
Yes, it is.
Because I have lots of friends, older friends that are getting much relief, not from smoking marijuana, but from all the other side benefits, the topical marijuana, the lotions, the oils, the creams, and things, and they're getting a lot of pain relief and giving them a better quality of life. So then I'm thinking, well, is this? It's just a more of a complicated issue than you realize.
It is, and so, you know, we have to look at it. You know, we ask, you know, for the committee, we've got some criteria that we want to abide by, and that is, look, it's here, it's legal, so let's deal with it in the zoning the way we might see it as appropriate.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time. I know there's lots to talk about with all the budget things. It may be a good time. I just, you know, I know the new construction evaluations are out, and might be a good time to bring one of your department heads on if you can get them away from their desk and have a discussion. Just kind of see what's going on with the various department heads. You know,
I think that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, Mr. Furman. he's just the most recent one on the block there, because with the construction evaluations coming burnouts and such. And
no, actually, it would be great to have Scott come in and
have a talk about that.
And, yeah, and I can work on that if you want.
Sure, it'd be awesome. Real quickly, how are things going in the prosecuting attorney's office? Has the transition begun? Is Carl?
It has. We have at least a deputy prosecutor that's serving the role at this time. Mm-hmm. We still have to appoint. The Democratic Party was only able to come up with two people instead of three. Like, there's a constitutional provision that says they come up with three, offer us the three, like we did with Senator Short and Representative Maycumber. But they haven't found anybody that's jumping up and willing to be the prosecutor.
All right. Well, we'll keep an ear tuned for that then. And look forward to our next visit.
Yes, I look forward
to it. All right, Chris, thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
The Ford Summer Sales Events are here. Now through September 5th, save big on Ford SUVs like Escape, Edge, and Explorer with 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in.
Whoa, it's always a good time.
Time is running out to save on America's best-selling brand. It's the last chance to get 0% financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in across a full lineup of Ford SUVs. Hurry, it's the final days of the Ford Summer Sales Event going on at your Ford dealer.
It's always a good time.
Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by September 5th, 2017.
Shop smart when you make Burlington stores your back-to-school headquarters. From shoes to backpacks to lunch bags, Burlington is packed with the very best to send them back to class in style. Score the latest tees, sneakers, and jeans on everyone's list. Plus all the basics like socks and underwear, too. The top brands you love at up to 65% off other retailers' prices every day. You're ready for the school year at Burlington. Style for everyone.
For nearly 100 years, folks have trusted Blue Star medicated ointment to relieve the pain and itching of almost any skin irritation.
It works on my son's dry, itching feet and their jock itch.
I had this rash on my neck. Nothing worked until Blue Star.
Blue Star worked great on my ringworm without steroids.
My wife and I have been using Blue Star for years. It's never let us down.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here is the president of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
There are 143 million orphans in the world today, and another child becomes an orphan every 2 seconds. Most orphans have lost one or both parents, but millions of them have been merely abandoned to die because they're no longer wanted. Millions of orphans are left to care for themselves, living in whatever trash they can find. Some look all day, only to find one small bite of rotten food. On average, at least 60 million orphans go to bed hungry every night. 60 million that not only have to endure the pain of hunger stabbing at their bellies, but also the fear of what suffering the next day will bring. And they know there will be suffering. Food for Orphans is helping to end that suffering. Every dollar donated provides 2.5 meals. And every $100 will provide a meal to 250 innocent orphans. That's a real demonstration that someone loves them. And that they will also never forget.
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
And welcome back to our Friday Open Line. I want to thank Commissioner Chris Branch for being in this morning to give us a bi-monthly county update. And always much appreciated about what's going on within the county and get some of the nuts and bolts of the activities and things happening. Of course, big budget time right now for the county, and looking forward to maybe getting a department head or two on here in the next month or so to talk about their various activities. Now we're joined in the studio by Mr. John Botkins with Dad's Move, M-O-V-E, the acronym. So welcome, sir.
Morning.
So what is Dad's Move all about?
We're into getting dads back in the family and getting back involved with their families because they've been out of the family for so long. And mom's always been helping take care of the kids and stuff, so it's time to get dads involved with their families again.
Okay, all right. Okay. So what's the Move acronym stand for, do you?
Right offhand, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I do too much other stuff. So.
Yeah. It sounds like it's a dad support group.
Well, we're all dads have been through the system. Our kids have been through the system with ADD or ADHD or autism and all them types of things. And we just help parents better understand their children and get to know, you know, how to deal with their kids.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what we do.
All right. To navigate all that complicated stuff.
Yeah,
I know I had a daughter who was in that system with IEPs and on the spectrum, and if you can educate yourself, you can sure do a lot for your kid.
Sure. You can definitely do a lot.
Because the programs are out there. You just have to know how to access and advocate for your child.
And where to find them is another thing.
Yeah,
too,
for sure. So. Well, good. Okay. So how long have you been doing this?
Well, we've been a 501c3 since June of 2010.
Okay, so things are
secure.
Nice. And growing?
Yeah, we're growing slow, but we're growing.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, it's
sometimes slow, steady growth is better than a real fast kick in the hiney.
Yeah, right. Then it could all fall apart.
Yeah. Gives you a chance to kind of evolve with it and stuff, too. So.
Right.
One of the things you're here to talk about today, there's an upcoming rally, an event as part of a resource fair. You want to talk about that? Stop Bullying.
Yeah. I do a lot of the Stop the Bullying stuff here in Okanagan County. I do have a web page on Facebook called Okanagan County Stop the Bullying. So you can go on there, and there's all kinds of information about things that happen, not only nationally, but worldwide. And, you know, about bullying that goes on the workplace, school, in the community, stuff like that.
Sure, okay. So there's going to be a Stop the Bullying event, a resource fair, fun free day in the park up in Twisp this year.
Yeah, this year. Last 2 years, I held it in Eastside. We've had about 300 people at each event.
Oh, wow.
So I'm hoping, Twisp is kind of hoping that it don't get that big. But so, we give away free hot dogs and chili and snow cones. We have the bouncy house water slides.
Nice.
And then we're going to have painted faces and animal balloons for the kids. Plus, you know, people like OBAC and them type of organizations are going to set up tables so they can get out the resources that are available to them in Oakland County.
Yeah. So I think maybe one of the things you're talking about is if there are organizations out there who are involved in some way with this whole idea of stopping bullying and you know, or maybe resources for parents and such, to give you a call because they can participate as a vendor or have a table and give an information and such. So
sort of like Head Start and DSHS.
Right. So there'll be information tables, animal balloons, and painted faces, and just lots of stuff to get the word out to
for
help
the kids.
Yeah. If you have any questions or you want to join in with an information table, you can call John at 509-486-2378 or the ever-popular cell phone at 509-846-9508.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, do you have monthly meetings and what's...
Well, actually, we do a weekly meeting.
Weekly, okay.
And it's usually on Thursdays, so Thursday evenings. But we do a weekly meeting, and we do trainings all over the state. Our recent training certified 3 of us in collaborative problem solving, which was based on a book by Dr. Green on the Explosive Child, the book Explosive Child. So,
so where do you meet?
Well, we actually do a phone conference because we're all over the state.
Oh, so it's a statewide meeting.
With all our, what do you you call them, co-workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, other dads that
are all the other advocates.
We have one in Spokane. We have Auburn, Tacoma, Seattle, Bellingham, so.
So as far as around here, you don't have, a weekly county meeting?
Yeah, because I'm the only one around here.
Okay. So you're still kind of a committee of one, or?
Yeah, I'm still kind of a committee of one, but everybody else, if they can come, they show up and help out. Like, during the bullying event, I have one of my co-directors coming over from Burien, Auburn.
Okay.
Coming over, and he's just going to spend the night in Twisp, and then he'll be there to help out with the event on Saturday.
Okay. All right. So the idea is just to get information out about, stop being the bully. How to recognize, how to intervene, how to stop.
Because it's led to, I can't even begin to count how many suicides that our young ones are committing suicide left and right because of all the bullying that's going on.
Yeah, nationwide especially. You hear the accounts of all the social media induced, social media induced suicides, I guess, really what it boils down to. So then you're also trying to help dads, especially those dads that have children that may be in the system. They need extra help in school, navigating what an IEP is, how to get resources for their children to get the education that they need and all the tools they need to succeed. You help with all that process.
Yes.
Help the dads. So.
Yes, we have trainings on all the processes. I think on the back of the back it has a list of all the trainings we have. Juvenile justice training, wraparounds, WISE program, IEPs, peer support. Several of us are Washington State peer counselors, certified Washington State peer counselors. I'm getting ready to get certified to teach mental health first aid to both adults and youth.
Mental health first aid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would be, I think it would be very useful for the police force and DSHS when they get into a domestic violence situation where they can deal with the situation.
Kind of like a mental health 101 course, give you some tools to handle that situation and to maybe diffuse a situation where there's a mental health issue involved.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, very important stuff. Now, before we came on the air, you were talking about another exciting program that you might be starting.
Yeah, I'm trying to work with OBHC and maybe starting an outreach program for the jail. For moms and dads that come out of jail and their children are in, say, foster care with CPS or DSHS.
Sure.
That we can kind of guide and teach them or give them the trainings to transition back in to become a family again.
Wonderful. Yeah, okay. So basically provide that kind of that walk along beside service to help them navigate and advocate for them and give them tools to get back to that nuclear family unit again. Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful, man.
Yeah, I'm currently working with OBHC also on getting a developmental disabilities board together. So if anybody wants to feel that they can help and participate in being a board member for developmental disabilities, please give me or Shannon Mendoza a call at the OBHC. So.
Okay, Shannon Mendoza. Okay, yeah.
And she'll direct you about the peer or about the developmental disabilities.
Okay. Trying to write some.
Yeah, and then there's another board that I joined that the state started. It's called Washington Peers Association Coalition.
Okay.
It's about peer counselors trying to help with the workforce and get people back involved with the workforce in Washington State.
Okay. So do you find yourself, John, pretty busy with dads?
All the time.
Yeah. So they are reaching out because usually these dads are sometimes we're stoic. We don't need, we'll do our own thing. We don't need that help. We're kind of self-sufficient.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you're able to break that barrier down and get them to come to you and
sometimes
okay.
sometimes dads are just too prideful and they just, my family ain't got issues or my kids ain't got issues, and we kind of believe that family comes first,
Well, sure,
some of these dads are like, no, my business or my work comes first.
Right.
and it's kind of hard for them to bite the bullet and say, well,
leave it to mom. And but yeah, but what a more effective tool if both parents are on the same page, they're working together.
Sure.
So wonderful that you're doing this. That's great. Is your wife involved with much at all with this, or she?
No, she's
not. Got her own thing going on.
Yeah, she's got her own thing.
She usually does. Yeah,
she's throwing rabbits. And,
oh, she's still doing that, huh? Okay, yeah.
Other stuff. So yeah, she's still doing that. So.
Yeah, that's where I first met when I was with the fair. Yeah,
she's very, throwing goats actually too, and cheese now, and some.
Oh wow.
Cook thing she does every Wednesday.
Okay.
Trying to expand, like canning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff to be more sustainable in Okanagan County.
Sure.
And small farms.
Well, it sounds like you guys are pretty busy.
Yeah, we are. Plus raising a granddaughter, so.
Got your okay. So I was going to say you still have kids at home, but no, you have a granddaughter at
home. Yeah, we're raising a granddaughter, so.
Okay, well, that's. How old is she?
Six. She's starting
to. Oh, boy. She's keeping you going, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she keeps you going.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Wonderful. Well, once again, you know, hey, it's a very important topic, this whole idea of stop the bullying. It has to do with education. It has to do with giving kids the tools to handle their problems differently, but also gives people the tools to recognize when bullying is occurring and to take it seriously and know how to intervene properly. There's going to be a Stop the Bullying event, a resource fair, at a free fun day in the park, August 26th, that's Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Twisp City Park. There'll be a bouncy house and water slide. They're going to have free hot dogs and chili and snow cones, and they got an information table. So if you have an organization out there that you think would be well served by being there at this gathering to get information out, give John a call at 509-486-2378 or 509-846-9508. There's also going to be animal balloons, painted faces, and sponsored by Dad's Move, which is a dad's support group, advocacy group to help dads navigate their children's lives and to be involved in their children's lives, and also to just, you know, to get that family unit back together again and get dads involved. So should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, moms, too. If moms want to give me a call,
well,
we
sure,
can get
yeah.
involved. And, you know, we're always open to the whole family. It's not just dads.
Okay, so. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Look forward to it.
Yeah, well, it has been in the last couple of years, and that's why I keep doing it.
Okay,
know?
Well,
so.
Once again, if you have any questions, you want to get involved at all, give John a call, please, at 509-486-2378 or the cell phone at 509-846-9508. And if you're more into the tech stuff, there's he's got a, you said you had a Stop the Bullying Facebook? Or
yeah, it's called Okanagan County Stop the Bullying. And it's on Facebook, and just type that in, it'll pop up.
Okay,
sure.
All right.
My name's there, and, you know, so.
And if you want to get more information about the organization overall, there is a dadsmove.org website,
right.
Or else there's a facebook.com/groups/dadsmove, okay? Or you can call their Washington State number at 425-243-7028. Well, John, thanks a lot for coming out again, and
sure.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, I'll try. It's
yeah.
supposed to be nice, and we'll see.
And keep up the good work for our county.
Hey, I've been trying
to it.
The last 6 years.
Well, sounds like you're doing a good job.
Well, it's for the kids, you know.
Absolutely. Well, that's our future. You know, and so raise them responsible now so they can become responsible adults for our community and beyond. So,
that's
yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, John.
Well,
have a good day.
You too.
Businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
You know why we love the country music community? Their passion for hometowns. Because at Country Inns and Suites, at home is how we want every guest to feel. That's why we offer complimentary comforts, such as hot breakfast every morning, a Wi-Fi connection, and coffee around the clock. Plus, our spacious rooms are the perfect place to relax and unwind. Our home is always open to you and your family. Book your next stay at countryinns.com.
Allergy sufferers? The name's Nigel. I'm a well-educated owl, therefore well-versed in the difference between what's wise and unwise. Talking like a pirate on a job interview? Unwise. Using Nuzisol for 24-hour relief of your allergy symptoms? Quite wise. In a clinical study, 90% of allergy sufferers who use Zizol felt powerful 24-hour relief after just one day. So for continuous allergy relief, don't be unwise. Be wise all. Take new Zizol. Use as directed.
Guys, like having a place to live, eating food, wearing clothes, sending 639 texts a week on a shiny new phone? There's one thing that can help you get the money to do all of those things. It's called a job. If you're a guy turning 18, there's one important thing you need to do to make sure the job market is wide open for you. Register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov. Failing to register with Selective Service would mean you'd not only be breaking the law, you'd also be unable to apply for federal jobs, many state and municipal jobs, and all kinds of job training programs the government offers. So guys, take a minute and register with the Selective Service. You'll keep your job prospects open. Otherwise, how are you going to get the basketball shoes with full-length responsive cushioning and an outsole cutout for low-profile impact protection? Take that minute. Go to SSS.gov and register with Selective Service and keep all your options open. Remember, it's quick, it's easy, it's the law.
It's Thursday. That means it's open line time here on Okanagan Country Radio, KNCW. We're going to wrap up just a few minutes early. We had a couple of segments today. Okanagan County Commissioner Chris Branch in our bi-monthly Commissioner update, talking about a lot of things, especially this health, integrated health care, and joining together all these forces, and going to end up by 2020 having to join a unit in Spokane. I didn't quite get all of it, but I'm sure Chris will keep us informed of that. What might be kind of interesting to get some hospital CEOs and hospital people to come on open line and talk about their take on this integrated health care and this regional system and such over the next few months. We got plenty of spots available for medical personnel to come on either open line or even on health line as well with Chris on Wednesdays. And then just got done talking with John Botkins. He's part of Dad's Move, M-O-V-E, organization that helps dads. It's a family, their family focus. It's Dad's Driven Peer Support Model that helps to provide support and training and advocacy and resources to the parents and families of special needs kids and their local service providers to help them navigate all the intricacies of dealing with a child that has special needs, whether it be IEPs, whether they need kind of some kind of a special educational accommodations or what have you. This group will help, especially help dads be in that process, but help the moms, help the families as well to navigate sometimes a very complicated world of special needs education and special needs for those special needs children that we have in our families and in our communities. To that light, they're also doing some other things, stopping, like bullying. They're going to have a Stop the Bullying event, resource fair. It's a free fun day in the park this year at the Twisp City Park, August 26th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Bouncy house, water slide, free hot dogs, chili, snow cones, animal balloons, painted faces, information table. So if you have an organization that needs to, that would like to get information out to help this group, you can give John Botkins a call at 509-486-2378 or 509-846-9508 for the Stop the Bullying event. You can also go to Okanagan County Stop the Bullying on Facebook, and John will come up. Or else you can go to their overall website, dadsmove.org, to learn more about the organization and also more about the Stop the Bullying event up in Twisp this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tomorrow, it is a double shot chamber open line on Friday. We've got the Orville Chambers Rally at the Border, a Blues Fest. And then in the second half of the hour, we're going to be talking with Roxanne Best about some upcoming events for the Okanagan Chamber. Next Thursday, we have half a segment with... We have half a show, I guess, as it were. Praise Gathering at Good Farms with Lonnie Good. And then on September 1st, which is a Friday, the first Friday of the month, it's our business appreciation. Okanagan Arms will be in to talk about their business. And that business appreciation, it's geared towards, regular advertisers, people who advertise on a regular basis with the station, as an added bonus, added benefit to their advertising dollars that they spend and their commitment to our station with advertising, they get a free open line segment as part of business appreciation. So this month or September, it'll be Okanagan Arms. In the past, we've had Tim Patrick Photography, we've had the Farm Shed and Ag Tech, we've had Darina's Flower Basket, we've had Gun Law Offices, amongst others. And so it's a pretty good way for them to get more information out about their business, and it's our way to show them our appreciation for their advertising dollars. So added benefit for that. A lot of open dates coming up on Open Line. So if you have an event, an activity you want to tout, you want to get the word out for, or some kind of a new thing going on, you want to make sure folks in the area are aware of, give us a call at 826-0100. Talk to Andrea Martin or Jill Gardner, or you know what, even Chris Schmidt could probably get you scheduled as well. Chris, the Renaissance man here at the station, as far as I'm concerned, the guy does about everything and anything. And I think the only thing I haven't seen Chris do since I've been here is actually go out and broadcast sports. At least as I've been here, anyway. He's done a lot of other things, and so Chris is just our guy here at the station to get a lot of things done. So if Andrea's busy and Jill is busy, well, Chris can get you scheduled for Open Line. Hey, we got football coming up still. Of course, we're in the midst of preseason NFL football. This Friday, the Hawks host the Kansas City Chiefs, 3 p.m. pregame, 5 p.m. kick, KCW. Next Thursday, the 31st, they go down to Raider Nation, take down the Raiders in the Bay Area. Hawks at the Raiders at 5 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. kick. And then college football gets underway September 1st. The Washington Huskies make a long road trip to New Jersey, right, to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, 4 p.m. pregame, 5 p.m. kick, KCW. And then on Saturday, the 2nd, it'll be the Cougs hosting the Montana State Bobcats, 6:30 pregame, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. And then on the 15th of September, we will start high school football with a couple of broadcasts for you. We've got our high school football season underway. Myself, Ron Kate, Jim Skinner will be bringing you games all throughout the season. And maybe even... you know, Chris will be here in the studio and maybe even get old Jordan Click back in. Who knows? We'll get some guys back at the station to run the station while we're doing those games. Have a great Thursday day and a great Friday tomorrow. We'll see you at 8:05 tomorrow for Open Line on KOMW and KCW. We're back after this break.